the rottingest bass player, Canadian bass player of the 21st century?
I knew it. You know Mike Levine from Triumph is the only keeper of that.
Who is?
Mike Levine from Triumph.
Oh, you think?
I don't know. That's the first name that came to mind.
How the hell are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Where are you calling from? Are you in town?
I am in, currently out in Coquitlam, yeah. I'm in Vancouver, yeah. Most people are like, they assumed I was going to go back between shows. I'm like, hell no, I'm staying around here.
Nice, man.
It's been really nice around here, actually.
I figured I might be seeing you down at Sunset Beach
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
Maybe in an hour or so.
I totally did only like overtly realize that was happening. I'm like, oh, is that today? I'm like, I'm always so unplugged with that kind of thing.
Man, so are you going to McCartan tonight?
I am, actually.
All right.
Did you go last night? Or?
I'm going tonight.
Oh, dude.
I've
seen him. I saw them. They opened up the joint in Las Vegas, the Hard Rock Cafe. They opened the day they reopened the joint, like they did a whole bunch of renovations.
Yeah.
This is probably, 6 years ago.
So. Oh yeah.
I saw he opened that up, and it was transcendent for sure. I mean, like
nice.
You know, if you're as big a fan as I'm sure you're a fan as well.
Oh, totally, man.
It's like it's like going to school, really. It's like his band is so. Cracker Jack, you know, picture perfect. I'm like, wow, what a gig.
Nice. I guess being a bass player and a vocalist too, he sort of had that connection early on with McCartney.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's funny that you mentioned that, because just the other day I was having a conversation about bass players. You know, that whole thing about how bass players are always kind of like the other one, the quiet one, and I'm always like, well, there's always many examples of McCartney's number one, Gene Simmons,
yeah.
Nikki Sixx, Steve Harris from Iron Maiden. There's a long list of us.
Yeah.
You get the Geddy Lee, Sting, you know, you get the guys who are, in many cases, the main guys in their bands who just happen to be the bass players.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of examples of that.
Speaking of bass, I guess, is it tricky for you now to be switching back? Because you're going to be playing guitar for Age of Electric, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, people sort of know me one way or the other. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like a lot of people kind of came to know me through Slash, so they didn't really know I was a guitar player or a singer or anything. So.
Yeah.
But I started playing, you know, I obviously played some acoustic guitar, but I started playing in bands playing bass, so
mm-hmm.
for me, it's kind of been really kind of both things at the same time all the time.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily, because, I mean, there's an ongoing conversation about whether guitar players can be bass players or whether bass players can be guitar players. I think McCartney's a good example.
You got it.
You can kind of go back and forth. And I'm always sort of like, I'm one of those guys, I like the challenge of whatever thing gets thrown at me, you know. It's kind of like,
yeah,
okay, that sounds like fun.
Cool.
And, of course, over the course of playing with Slash, I had completely transitioned over back into bass player brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
So when it came back to... In the first couple of years, I was still playing guitar a lot, like in other things. And
mm-hmm.
then, of course, over the... You know, it just became, as it will, you know, being your main gig, it just became a big part of my brain that... you know, I just took over my brain. So then to go back to guitar is always exciting for me because, you know, you put down the bass, pick up a guitar, and you find a whole new world of inspiration.
For sure, man, for sure. So it's great news about the AOE reunion and the gig come up with the Commodore. Not that many bands can reform with all the original members after that long apart and pull it off. How psyched are you about it?
It's so funny, you know, because... We often talk about it because we've always been in contact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the weird thing. I mean, there might have been a couple years of weirdness at first because whatever. We often like laugh about it now because none of us can really remember what the hell the problem was. You know, but we've always been in contact in one form or another. And Ryan and I started writing songs. Like, we were laughing about it. We were like already back writing songs. Like, geez, I don't even know. Definitely
right?
Over 10 years ago, we were already back into. You know, getting together, writing songs with no real kind of idea of what to do with them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just sort of like, at some point, we should do this, you know, and it would be this funny conversation we'd have once in a while.
Yeah.
And, of course, like anything, you know, the old, the life has a funny way of getting in the way of your plan.
Exactly.
To paraphrase, you know, it's sort of like, you know, the next thing you know, it's like years go by, and then, but we'd had enough offers, you know, it was strange that these offers would come in, and they actually came mostly from Calgary. We would get these, every year I would get a promoter reaching out to me about putting together a show, and I was always, look, you know, we're kind of open to doing it if our schedules permit and if we can kind of make it make sense. And, you know, it's just sort of like there was a lot of sort of false starts that kind of didn't happen. And then finally last year we kind of, out of nowhere, it was just sort of like, it was in the middle of the Slash tour, too. It just happened to be like, this guy said, hey, are you available in June or something like that? And I said, no, but I'm available in whatever the break was, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a month off right around here, and they said, okay, let's make it in there. And I go, if you can make it work, we'll make it happen. And then it just sort of lined up that way. And
yeah. So it was sort of, was it outside influences that caused the reunion? So it wasn't you guys getting together and saying, let's do this?
I think that it was, you know, we were always, we kind of already sort of like, without saying it, you know, out loud, I think we were all mentally on the same page that I think all it took was, you know, for someone to say, you know, do you four guys want to get on that stage right over there?
Yeah.
You know, it sort of like needed that extra kind of like reason to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Was there one member that was the biggest booster as far as getting the reunion going?
That's the weird thing is it doesn't really feel like anybody. Mm-hmm. In a funny way, it just kind of felt like, I don't know, like the Blues Brothers or something, just kind of like, we're getting the band back together, you know, it's like there was a calling, we got a mission from God, but, you know, just sort of like, literally just kind of reached out and said, hey, you know, this is the date in Calgary, do you want to do it, and everybody kind of went, yeah, sure, did it, and once we did that, it's sort of like, you know, then it became like, well, I can't see why we wouldn't do this again, or again, and again, and again, so.
Yeah. So how many reunion shows have you done already?
We've only done two.
We've done two, in Calgary?
We did one in Calgary, and then just last week we did the Victoria show opening for Collective Soul.
Oh, cool, man. So did the old magic return the very first time you guys plugged in together?
Pretty much. You know, I've said it before, but I said the weirdest thing was how not weird it was. You know what I mean?
Huh.
Like, it's just kind of like, as you're going into it, you're thinking, this is really strange. Like, this is, like, very bizarre. But, you know, we just kind of, like, plugged in and looking at each other and singing these songs and going, huh, well, there you go. I mean, the other thing about it, too, is that we're playing, like, three new songs in the set. So it's Ryan Dahl was very sort of, like, gung-ho about, let's play some new music. And I'm kind of from that old-school performer's mindset of, like, well, I don't want to, like, you know, freak anybody out. But I think he was absolutely correct because it really sort of has created a whole different
nice.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like when you come to the show, you walk away going, that wasn't just a nostalgia act, which I think none of us really were that motivated by the kind of like, hey, remember the 90s? We were kind of more about like, you know, celebrating the music that we made together, but also that includes some music that hasn't even been released yet. So.
Yeah. So which of the old songs are going over the best so far?
Well, I think that there's always those, the singles that we've released. I mean, Age of Electric was lucky enough to have been around during the days when things like Much Music actually meant something, I mean, as far as music videos go.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had a lot of love during that phase.
I was just watching your Ugly video just now here.
Oh, that's funny. that one particularly is pretty much the first one for us that really took off.
Yeah.
And that really sort of set us up for the next level of what we were kind of doing.
Which of the old songs do you most enjoy playing these days?
Well, we've dug pretty deep, actually. Like, we'll break out some sort of album tracks where we'll go, like, I can't believe that this wasn't a single, or I can't believe this wasn't, that we didn't play this more. And so, that's been the fun part of this, is it's kind of like, you know, we actually kind of have, you know, people who come to the shows, and they'll say, what about this song, and what about that song? We'll go, yeah, why didn't we think of that song? You know, it's kind of, so it's a bit of a, kind of like, almost like a communal kind of idea of trying to put set lists together, because
yeah.
we obviously go with, you know, what we considered singles on those records, and then just sort of fill in the rest.
Yeah. Are you guys playing any covers or throwing in the odd Static and Stereo track or anything?
Yeah, we haven't really kind of gone there yet. I mean, obviously, Limb Lifter has had a whole other career.
Yeah.
Static and Stereo had a whole other thing. I've had some solo stuff, and Kurt was in the Pornographers. And, but I think we kind of, the one cool thing about it is that, you know, the four of us sort of, you know, it's the original four guys.
Yeah.
We don't want to do it in any other. I always kind of was proud of ourselves for not sort of going out with a version with a, you know, with a different guy or sometimes
for sure.
many different guys and just some, like, one original guy or something like that.
I got you.
So I think that in doing this, it was just kind of more like, you know, let's just be the Age of Electric, and it's sort of, in a weird way, I mean, the strangest way, just the other day we were sitting backstage in Victoria, and it was the same laugh, the same gags, and I just said to myself, I said to those guys, and said, it feels like somebody took 1998 and just erased everything up until 2016. It just, you know, in that moment, it just felt like it was the next day.
Was 98 the last year that you guys performed?
98, Hamilton, Ontario. We opened for Our Lady Peace at Cops Coliseum, and that was the last show. I don't remember, you know, the exact date, obviously, but it was definitely of that year, because Make a Pestipet came out in 97. And so in reality, I don't know when the last show in Vancouver would have been, probably that year.
I probably asked you, but in a nutshell, what caused the breakup of the band anyway in 98?
You know, that's one of those funny things that we all kind of look at each other and go, what the hell are we thinking? We all got really distracted with other projects.
Right.
I think we can probably all admit that we were guilty of that. And had we had, I wish I'd been kind of like you know, a little wiser, because of course these things all look very clear in retrospect, but I feel like had we just sort of said to ourselves, look, I'm going to go off and do this, you're going to go off and do that, let's reconvene next year or whenever it is, back to the mothership and do this again. So I would assume by 1999, if we had done that, we would have made another record, maybe taken another year off after that, and you know what I mean? By the time 2016 rolls around, we would have had 20 albums out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, but these are all things you see in hindsight. It's hard to look back on anything with any sense of regret, because everybody's done so many great things.
Exactly.
In each other's absence. But
So I guess the question needs to be asked now, when is the new Age of Electric album coming out?
Well, we are, you know, it took us a while to really get serious about it, as far as, like, you know, we technically have four songs recorded right now. They're in a constant state of, like, you know, mixing, remastering, noodling, because that's what you do when you don't really have anything sort of, you know, a deadline in mind. But we definitely plan on, I can't speak for everybody, but I know that my intention is to try and, you know, spend 2016 coming up with what we can come up with. And I'm hoping before the end of the year that something might be in place. But that's the thing about the Age of Electric. Bunch of nasty little bastards. We just kind of, and we were constantly like, people were constantly telling us, you can't release independent music, you can't compete with all these major acts. And we said, we're going to release some independent records. And we would do this kind of thing, and we get picked up by Cargo Records originally, you know, and then Universal got involved. And, you know, so we kind of always did what we wanted to do, and a lot of people would always kind of warn us that we shouldn't, and we just sort of did what we wanted to do. So in this case, I kind of feel like this sort of reinvigorated idea of, like, no one can tell me why we shouldn't make a record, so I'm just gonna sort of, like, kind of, you know, just sort of like get everybody on the same page and just finish a cool album. So I think that a lot of my schedule is sort of, as you know, with Guns, that's the funniest thing. Just the other day I said, Miles Kennedy is doing Alter Bridge, Slash is doing Guns N' Roses, I'm doing Age of Electric, and it's so funny that all of us have kind of gone to our past in a funny way, you know, just to kind of like, gone backwards to move forward. Miles, of course, is just going sideways, because he's never ever left Alter Bridge, per se, but Slash and I both kind of, like, you know, he has no idea who the Age of Electric is, you know, but, you know, the idea that we both went backwards, him in a much, much, you know, more iconic and history-making way, but for me, it's sort of like the parallels are there, so we kind of all gone back to our past to to move forward. At some point, you know, obviously our schedules, my schedule, I can only speak for myself because this, what started off as kind of like, let's see what happens, has turned into like, you know, it's starting to get kind of more and more and more. So, as far as Guns N' Roses goes, you know, once that kind of finds its way to wrapping up, you know, we'll kind of discuss reconvening. But until then, it's, you know, 2016 is sort of, for me, I've kind of just decided to put my time into HB Electric and see what comes back. I mean, honestly,
cool.
It's like, I've got a lot on my plate that I could do. You know, I've got solo projects and things on the go as well. But but it's been so fun for me to come back here, you know, to go back to HB Electric, come back to Vancouver, and experience the whole thing all over again. It's been really, really fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I guess, obviously, the big news in the world of rock these days is the GNR reunion with Slash getting back with Axl. Were you always hoping that it wouldn't happen? You could keep Slash to yourself, so to speak?
You know, honestly, it's funny that you say that, because a lot of people are kind of like, you know, like it was sort of like bad news for me, and I was kind of like, you know, I think it's always been sort of, as a fan, you know, I'm kind of like, of course, I think that's super exciting. And I but then as somebody who, you know, we're friendly, I wouldn't, you know, say we're the best of friends, but, you know, he's a friend of mine. I'm kind of like, look, I'm really happy for him to be able to go back and catch up all these issues and really, you know, get himself to a whole other level of making history with this thing. So,
yeah. You're breaking up a little there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Just a little crackling there.
Yeah, it's more a case of, like, I am 100% supportive of the government's thing. I've always been sort of, like, very possibility that could be, you know, that, it, you know, that he could do it. And
that. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You're breaking up a lot, though. You can hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, great. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Into the one room, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, okay. So I guess it all depends. Things are sort of up in the air now, I guess, depending on whether Slash and Axl can get along and whether they stick together. I mean, I guess there's always options that they'll make another Guns N' Roses album or whatever.
Well, that's absolutely a possibility, and
yeah.
You know, again, that's kind of like, you know, that's up to the deciders, you know what I mean, and then that's up to those guys. So I think that, you know, again, I'd be supportive of that too. It's like, if that's what he wants to do, and that's what where the fate takes him.
Mm-hmm.
I personally kind of treated 2016 as more of like a, you know, for me, it's been pretty exciting getting back into, you know, writing music and being back as a singer, and, you know, that kind of thing has been, for me, it's kind of like, it's always very exciting to be able to kind of try on these new hats,
for sure.
Or maybe old hats, and kind of, and then, you know, so to me, I always kind of looked at it as like, well, you know, when that happened, that the opportunity was sort of like, you know, as I immediately kind of like fired up this situation and ran with it, you know. So it's been nothing.
Yeah,
but
good on you, man. Good on you. I don't want to put any evil thoughts in your head, but if someone were to do a Tonya Harding on Duff McKagan and he wasn't able to play in Guns N' Roses, I guess it would be the obvious choice. It's recommended by Slash, eh?
Well, perhaps. Yeah, I'm actually a massive supporter of Duff too. So,
oh, you're a better singer than him.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I saw them in Vegas. I saw the first official arena show, and it was awesome, you know, getting to see, you know, because I know Duff, I know Slash, I know Dizzy, I know Richard, the other guitar player, so it's kind of like, you know, getting to see these guys kind of do this show was very sort of like, it was very surreal, it's, you know, because I never saw the original Guns N' Roses back in the day. So for me, it was kind of like, of course, Axl's in a chair because he broke his foot, but but it was great. You know, it was really cool to see. It was really cool to hear the music and really cool to see those guys together, you know.
On another Guns N' Roses related note, what's your honest opinion of AC/DC hiring Axl as the singer to replace Brian Johnson?
I think that's the most surreal thing I've heard in a long time. bizarre, isn't it? It's like, you know, if somebody brought that up to me. I just saw AC/DC about a month or two ago, and they were fantastic. I was like, you know, I was kind of a little bit unsure walking into the show without Malcolm and without Phil Rudd.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are two of my favorite members of AC/DC, but they were still fantastic, and I thought Brian was fantastic. So I don't know, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm very curious about it. It's kind of one of those things of, like, I realize that they probably have a 10-date obligation to finish up whatever date they have.
Yeah, right.
I understand, because from a, you know, from being in the biz, I understand what the actual business is that's going on as far as trying to finish out your obligations to these dates. But hey, seeing Axl Rose sing those songs, that sounds like a fascinating, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah,
well, I guess 10 times in a lifetime opportunity if it's 10 shows.
Yeah, I've been blogging about a little bit on yearofnewt.com, and a lot of comments from AC/DC fans saying that they should have got the guy from Crocus or the guy from Airborne,
yeah.
I thought Jimmy Barnes would have been a good choice, too. But
yeah, that
would have been
great.
They went with Axl, I guess, for the financial reasons.
Angry Anderson, all those
Angry
guys.
Anderson.
You know, there's a lot of guys that would have been great. But obviously, obviously from a business standpoint, Axl's, you know, I mean, Axl's Axl. You know,
yeah.
There's probably a lot of guys out there who, you know, would be very interesting to hear, you know, in the gig, but they don't have the power or the ticket selling power that an Axl Rose will have as far as like seeing AC/DC plus Axl Rose. That's going to be a very interesting combination. So I'm not mad at them. You know, I mean, like a lot of people are all pissed off. I mean, a lot of people are pissed off about, you know, Guns N' Roses reuniting without Izzy and Steven, and I'm kind of like, you know, I get it. You know, it's hard enough to get like four guys in a room or five guys in a room to make music together. So sometimes when these things happen and they don't quite happen exactly the way people want them to happen, it's kind of like you're lucky it's happening at all.
So were you surprised that Slash and Axl got together? I mean, being close to Slash, did that come as a shock to you at all? Or?
I don't think it really was a shock. I know that there had been a long-standing rift.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, hey, I can only equate it to the Age of Electric. You know, it's like Age of Electric, you know, there was a period where we didn't talk, and then you just realize as time goes by that that was kind of silly, and you get on with it. So it may have taken Axl and Slash a little longer, but I think it probably the same thing occurred. It's just, you know, look at what we've done together. Look at this history of music we've made.
Yeah.
And how can we not sort of look each other in the eye and get up on stage and celebrate it with everybody who wants to hear it? I wasn't surprised. You know, there's a part of me that's kind of, I think we in the band always kind of knew that, you know, that's always a possibility. And when it happened, it wasn't like, I never took it as bad news. It was sort of like, oh, cool. You know, kind of, at the time, especially because we had been staring at 2016 as kind of like, as sort of a wild card anyway, because Miles was obligated to do another run with Alter Bridge.
Right.
So I had already mentally started you know, doing what I'm doing now. Like, I'd already kind of started to head in this direction, knowing that that's just the way the year was going to be. So whether Slash was playing in Guns N' Roses or not, I'd probably be doing what I'm doing right now. You know what I mean? So when the Guns N' Roses thing came up, I was like, well, it's perfect timing because I'm doing Age of Electric.
Yeah, exactly. Have you met Axl?
I've never met Axl, no.
Oh, okay. I'm a little concerned that, well, I hope that... you know, for Guns N' Roses fans' sake, he doesn't pull his old stunts where he used to not show up and cause riots. I saw a riot starting up here in Vancouver when he didn't show up.
I remember that. Yeah, I was in the studio.
If he does what's in AC/DC, that won't be much fun for them fans either.
No, I know. I honestly believe that those days seem to be behind
him. Yeah, you would think so.
Over the last, I don't know, 5 years or something
in
Guns N' Roses, the other version that Axl was touring in the last few years, there hadn't been any incidents for a long time.
Yeah.
I heard in Vegas they were doing a residency at the Hard Rock at the Joint. I heard that he was actually showing up early.
Yeah.
He was like, kind of like, you know, he was ready to go.
Cool. Just a couple more questions for you there, Todd. I was wondering, what was the last CD or album that you bought or downloaded?
Oh, geez. I bought a bunch recently. I bought Iggy Pop's new record.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The one he did with Josh Homme.
Oh.
It's really, really great.
Huh.
I bought the new Cult. The Cult.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really, really interesting.
Hmm.
You know, I'm so bad at this because I seem to kind of have new music on the go all the time.
Oh yeah, are you a vinyl guy or?
I am a vinyl guy, but but of course, you know, I mean, every possible medium now because you got you know, like because of the digital thing, I've kind of got a bunch of new stuff on the go too. The last David Bowie album became a major thing for, you know.
Cool.
But I really can't get that one out of the deck.
So yeah, you're playing the Commodore. I guess is that your first choice of any Vancouver venue?
I think so. Honestly, I think that, you know, when somebody, you know, I'm sure the first answer out of my mouth when they asked where we should play, I said we should play the Commodore. It's sort of the premier, you know, room in town. I think that all of us have so many memories of that room, whether it's seeing somebody play or having played there ourselves multiple times. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing that show on it's Saturday, so that's a good night.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the 30th, and I'll be doing the write-up for the Straight and doing all kinds of blogs and on the Year of Newton, all kinds of fun stuff. I really appreciate you giving me some time. Again, Todd always give good quotes,
well,
as they say.
Well, I know you're a pro, Daddy-O, so it's kind of like, you know, you kind of feel like when you go into these interviews, sometimes you feel like, you know, you kind of want to try and drum up something.
Well,
something
thanks.
Johnny Rotten, you know, kind of worth, you know, kind of, some guys just are really good at having that sort of, like, they say something and it's immediately quotable.
Well, you've been great yourself and over the years, and I appreciate that. So, you enjoy McCartney tonight. Is there any particular, I've got his... This set list here somewhere. See, I saw him in 2012, and I was thought, well, geez, I don't want to see the exact same songs. But then I checked the current set list, and there's 17 different songs that are
17.
On there.
17? Wow.
So, but some of the ones that I wouldn't have minded hearing again. Let me get the set list out here.
I mean, imagine, I think he's been doing some weird stuff, like some...
Yeah, he's doing... I don't know, Temporary Secretary. I don't think I really need to hear that tune.
Really?
I don't think, yeah. And, last time he was here, he played, Magical Mystery Tour and All My Lovin' and Jet, Paperback Writer, and these are all ones that apparently he's not playing tonight. A Day in the Life he's not playing, Day Tripper, Get Back, so... But on the other side, he's added, like, apparently, I don't want to ruin it for you, but I think he's opening with the Hard Day's Night, and he's doing Can't Buy Me Love, and I guess Love Me Do for the first time.
Really?
Hope I didn't ruin it for you.
I'm always
to know what's happening.
Yeah, no, I'm always kind of like open to whatever kind of...
And I'm looking forward, he's doing the Fool on the Hill, which I've never seen him do, and
that'll
make me think of some of my friends.
Yeah, some of my friends who are fools on hills, No, I think it's honestly he's one of those guys that can dish up whatever he wants to dish up, and I'll take a second helping. Thank you very much.
Are you gonna wangle your way backstage?
Oh no!
Come on, man, you got pull.
I don't have anything quite that advanced.
Meet the Beatle.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a trip? Well, I almost met. I was in the vicinity of Ringo Starr once. That's about the farthest that's ever been.
Cool, man. Well, thanks again for the interview, and have a. Maybe I'll see the gig tonight. If not, maybe at the Commodore on the 30th.
You got it. Well, if you are in the building, text me or whatever. I think you have your number, don't you?
You betcha.
Text me, and if we can't cross paths somewhere in the building, that'd be...
Let me scribble your number down just in case.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a 7...
Okay, my friend.
That'd be great.
Thanks again.
It'd be awesome to cross paths.
You betcha.
Okay, brother. Have
Take
fun
care,
tonight.
Todd. You too.
Bye-bye.
See you, man.